Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our text this morning, I'd like to focus on verses 21 to 23 of our gospel lesson, where we read, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." What a dramatic gospel lesson we have read this morning. We go from the depths of fear and unbelief to our Lord's life-giving, empowering words and his presence, which brought peace and joy to the hearts of the disciples, and finally Thomas's full-fledged confession, "My Lord and my God." But today I would like to focus on the words, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Think about those words for a minute. They are really stunning words, full of consequence and purpose for how we are to live each day. And they make an explicit and marvelous comparison between Jesus' life and our life, our purpose and Jesus' purpose, our place in God's plan and the work of Jesus. We are sent into the world in some way like Jesus. Just as Jesus was sent to bring life to the world, so God's people, his church, bring life, Jesus' life, to the world. So first of all, let's focus on the idea of being sent. Who is being sent? Jesus' disciples, all believers, the church, the people of God. What is true about Jesus' mission is also true, in a sense, about the church's mission. Now, some people have said, well, does this refer to all God's people or just to the apostles and perhaps by extension to the pastors? Well, Luther spoke to this issue, and he taught about the priesthood of all believers, that God's word teaches that it is all believers who bring this peace and hope to the world. All God's people receive his life-giving spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus, if you are baptized in his name, the Holy Spirit is at work in and through you. Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him." And the church as a whole is called the body of Christ, his presence in the world, so that the world may know of him. Luther put it this way when he commented on this very passage. He said, "This power now is here given to all Christians. He who believes has the Holy Spirit. Therefore, every Christian has the power which the Pope and bishops have to retain or to remit sins. When my neighbor comes and says, 'Friend, I am distressed in my conscience, say an absolution to me,' then I may freely do so, preach the gospel to him, and tell him how to appropriate the works of Christ and firmly to believe in Christ's that Christ's righteousness is his and that his sins are Christ's. This is the greatest service I may render to my neighbor, who can fully set forth what an unspeakable, mighty, and blessed consolation this is, that with one word, one man may unlock heaven and lock hell for another." Thus said Luther, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." We need to hold these words before us when we think about the nature of the church. Sometimes we think of the church as a building, or we think of the church as an institution, and we come here to receive a service. But Jesus tells us here that the church is always being sent. It is like an army on the move. It is in motion. We are not to sit behind locked doors in fear of the world like the disciples did that Easter night. We are sent out into that world. For the church, the best defense is a good offense. We defend the faith by carrying it out into the world. and talking to people about our Lord Jesus, talking to atheists or Buddhists or the nuns who say they have no committed faith, or whoever it may be in our world, to bring that message to them. They may not agree with us, but we can engage in a dialogue with them. We can't defend the faith by sitting behind locked doors. We must leave the fortress and go out into the world. Like the disciples that night, Jesus comes into our midst to bring us his peace as we are gathered together. He gives us his Holy Spirit, and he fills our hearts with joy, and then he sends us out into the world. It's really astounding to think that God has such great plans for us. Not only does he forgive us our sins, but he intends to use us as his instruments to bring life and peace to the world. How many of us would go to the prison and set free the convicts and then entrust them with our greatest treasures and the most important responsibilities? But in a sense, that is what God does with us. He is not content just to free us from our sins. He also wants us to be his sons and daughters, co-workers with him in the kingdom. And so just as Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "I am the light of the world," so he also says to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world." I remember years ago I was sent down to South Texas near the Mexican border to work as a vicar. And that was my first experience as being a full-time worker in the church. And there I was in this poor Texas farm town, and I felt a sense of frustration. Sometimes I felt like the church was like a wall around me, preventing me from connecting with the community. And sometimes you and I are like the disciples. We hide behind locked doors. The church sometimes cuts itself off from the world rather than going out into that world. We are sent like Jesus. What did Jesus do? He went from town to town and from village to village. He ate with all kinds and classes of people. He touched the sick and he healed them. He connected with the world in order to bring his peace to it. Now, there is something scary about being sent like Jesus. First and foremost, it's a huge responsibility, and you and I are not up to the task. Like Peter, we too deny our Lord. Like Thomas, we doubt him. And like all the disciples, we run and hide. Look what happened to Jesus. He was hated. He was betrayed. He was tortured and killed. The one who says to us, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you," stands there with the scars in his hands and the wound in his side. Being sent like Jesus means being called to suffer. We will have scars in the Christian life. And I think there may be no better text to refute the prosperity gospel of health and wealth than this one. Being a Christian is not about being healthy and happy and wealthy and successful. It's about following our master in the way that he traveled. And we will have sorrows and disappointments in the Christian life because we are sent like Jesus. After all, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." See the sequence? Father, Son, us. There's another sequence of comparisons in the book of John. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." If we are sent like Jesus, we are sent to love like he loved, sacrificially. We are to lay down our lives in love. And the love and obedience of Jesus in Gethsemane is a model for us. This is a costly love of which the world knows nothing. And yet, when the world sees this love, it cannot help but take notice. What is it that most gets in the way of the work of the church? I think it is the lack of love. The lack of love is like sand in the gears of a fine machine. The work of the church grinds to a halt when we do not love one another, when we are divided, and when we begin to fight one another. Love is how the world can see that we belong to Jesus. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And so our Lord tells us that love is the mark of the Christian. Sometimes I think maybe we talk too much about witness and not enough about love. Yes, we must give a bold testimony, for it is only the Word of God that can work faith in people's hearts. But the biggest challenge in the Christian life is to love. And when we love, the world will pay attention to our witness because they will see Jesus in us. Of course, love will bring suffering. But in our suffering, we will also know joy and comfort in our resurrected Lord. Scripture says, just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. I can identify with the disciples cowering there in that dark room, because in my life, at times when I've gotten depressed, I've had a tendency to sit in a room and brood. Like the disciples, I have become inactive, fearful, and isolated from others and from the world. What is it that keeps you cowering in a dark room? What prevents us from going out into the world with the peace of our risen Lord? Shakespeare said, "Conscience makes cowards of us all." But if that is so, we as Christians have no reason for cowardice, because our Lord comes to us and says, "Peace be with you. Son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." We can stand firmly with a clear conscience, with boldness. Perhaps it is doubt that holds us back. Perhaps we are like Thomas, wondering with questions, uncertain in our faith. Well, Scripture also has the answer to this dilemma. We are not saved by the strength or the size of our faith. We are saved by the one that our faith holds on to, Jesus Christ. We can be like that woman that came up behind Jesus and said, "If only I grab the hem of his garment, I will be saved." So we can pray like the father of the possessed boy who said to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief," and then confess with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." And sometimes those who doubt have underneath the doubt a deeper faith than those who have never struggled. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, so we should not lose heart if we struggle with doubt, but rather cling all the more closely to Jesus. We don't have to say, like Isaiah did, "Here am I, send me, send me." For Jesus has already said to us, "I am sending you." It would be good to remember this passage as we go through the routine of our lives. Perhaps you are discouraged in work or in school. Perhaps life at home at times is difficult and dreary. But Jesus says to us, "I am sending you. Take heart and be strong. You are being sent like Jesus." So though work may seem boring or pointless, or you may feel like you are going nowhere, and yet Jesus says to you, "I am sending you." You are being sent like Jesus into the workplace and into the street, into your school and into your family. Let the people of the world be bored and feel that their routine is meaningless. The Christian is on a mission. He is following Jesus. The Christian father is sent like Jesus into his home to lay down his life. The Christian mother is sent like Jesus to minister and serve even in the humblest tasks. The Christian young person is sent like Jesus into friendships and into study. We stand in Jesus' place. Remember, Jesus is sending you as he himself was sent. For love of the Father and love of the world, he endured the cross and despised its shame. Do not cower in the darkness. Shine the light of Christ. Jesus has told us, "Take up your cross daily and follow me. Love one another. I am sending you." I am reminded of those old military recruitment posters that say, Uncle Sam wants you, with a pointing finger. Well, Jesus is sending us. And he is not a general that sends his troops out forward while he sits safely and comfortably in the rear. No, he has gone before us, and he laid down his life, and now he is risen. And he gives us his Holy Spirit for the work that he gives us to do. We have our instructions. We have our battle plan. The way may be hard, but the outcome is guaranteed. We do not have to wonder if good will prevail over evil. It already has. Jesus lives. The victory is won. And so we sacrifice with the firm confidence that our sacrifice will matter, that it will be of value. As we gather together, as we do here today with other believers in Jesus' name, he stands in our midst, for he says to us, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And notice how he breathed on the disciples when he said, receive the Holy Spirit. At creation, God breathed in Adam's nostrils the breath of life. God personally communicates his life to us so that we also may communicate it personally to others. God could have chosen a different way to bring his salvation to the world, but he wants to do it through us, up close and personal. He doesn't lower a microphone from heaven to proclaim his word. Rather, he breathes on us, puts his Holy Spirit within us, and then works in and through us to touch the lives of others. And so he is at work in our relationships with others as we bring that word of Christ to others, as we share that peace and that love that we have received with others. There, his word is at work in our lives and in our relationships. It is there where disciples are made and strengthened. Jesus is sending us as he was sent. Jesus is our destiny. God made us in his image. We are made to live in his presence. And he calls us his sons and daughters. And like his only begotten son, he sends us into the world to suffer, yes, but also to walk in new and glorious resurrected life, to walk in love, and to have a part in the very work of God. This reminds me of Joseph in the book of Genesis. He was locked in Pharaoh's prison. His life was ruined. His own brothers had sold him into slavery. And after more misfortunes, he found himself in prison in a foreign land without hope, truly a loser, a human disaster. And yet from that prison, Pharaoh called him, not only to set him free, but to make him his right-hand man in the kingdom. So God calls us from the prison of our sin, from isolation and darkness, from guilt and fear. He doesn't just set us free. He wants us to grow in the image of his son. He doesn't just cut us loose. He makes us his co-workers. He sends us as he sent his only son. May God send us every day out of the closed rooms and locked spaces of our lives into the world like Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this precious, astounding, incredible commission that you have given us, that you send us into the world as the Father has sent you. We thank you for the precious word of the gospel that gives us peace, and for the power of your resurrection that gives us life, and for the privilege of being bearers of that message. Lift up our hearts that we may go to those around us with your word of peace and life. Free us from the locked spaces of our lives, that we may bring peace and joy and comfort to others in your name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.